Have you been searching for a podcast? Do you want to learn from some great content creators? Well, you've come to the right place. Indie Podcaster, with your host, Jeff Townsend, the Indie Podcast Father.
Hey guys, welcome back to Indie Podcaster. I am filling in for Jeff this episode, and who is I? Well, my name is Ashers, and I'm one half of the On Wednesdays We Talk Weird podcast, podcast where we cover everything from cryptozoology to ufology, the paranormal, true crime, anything weird. It's there, and you'll find it there every Wednesday. Just look up On Wednesdays We Talk Weird anywhere you listen to podcasts. The episode you're about to hear is actually content previously released on Jeff, Greg, and Tanner's podcast, Podcast Garage. Also, don't forget to check out Jeff's Podcasting Power Hour. It's a Twitter space that he has every Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern. And without further ado, enjoy the episode.
All right. Another day of this. Let's get this door opened. Let's see if these guys are out here. Oh, will you look at these two chuckleheads. Late. Guess the shoe's on the other foot, huh, old Greg?
Who the hell gave you a key? And I'm not late, I'm flexibly prompt.
Oh, flexibly prompt, yeah, I like that. What about you, Jeffrey? What's your excuse?
You set all the clocks in my house back an hour last night, you jackass.
Oh yeah, I did do that. Well, you ready to start the day?
We absolutely need to get that key back.
I'm way ahead of you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Podcast Garage. On this episode, Tim McCarthy brings his podcast, 20 Tim Minutes by the Garage. Tim wants us to check on the audience fluid, the no money detected light is on, and the podcast sometimes stalls on YouTube. I'll be your co-host, Greg, along with Jeff, aka Podcast Father, and Tanner Campbell. Between us, I think we can get 20 Tim Minutes all tuned up. As always, this episode is sponsored by Indie Drop-In Network. If you have a comedy, true crime, scary, or paranormal podcast, check out indiedropin.com/creators to grow your show for free. All right, let's get to it.
How exciting is this? We're on what? Is this like our second episode? Hell, I can't even keep track of Podcast Garage. I am Jeff, aka PF. I've been creating content off and on for a little while, but it's not about me. I'm going to share some of my friends with you. I want to introduce you to them. One of them is one of the most influential people in podcasting. Just ask him, he'll tell you. Tanner Campbell from Podcasting Sucks. What's up, Tanner?
I hate that you do that. I wish you wouldn't do that. Oh, man. Hi. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. I'm very busy as a top 22 influencer. Thanks a lot, Jeff.
Well, all jokes aside, Tanner is really a big part of and a great resource in the indie podcast community. He has a podcast all about helping the little guy or the big guy, helping everybody. How's that sound? This next gentleman is a hell of a guy. I lift you up there, and once you're up there, he tries to tear you down. It's that old cranky man, old Greg from Indie Drop-In.
I don't know how I got this reputation because I'm supposed to be the nice one.
You are supposed to be the nice one. I also wonder how many more episodes we'll have with that intro before Jeff is accused of being a blatant ageist.
I want to keep it going until Jeff is canceled and it's just the Tanner and Greg show.
There we go. TNG.
We have a very special guest with us today, Tim McCarthy from 20 TI Minutes. I'm just kidding. It's 20 Tim Minutes. And he's asked for some help on his podcast. So we're excited to chat with you today. But Tim, the floor is yours. Let you introduce yourself and talk about your podcast for a second.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for having me. Very excited for this. But yeah, my name's Tim McCarthy, host of the podcast 20 Tim Minutes. It's a podcast that focuses on mental health through humor, insight, and personal stories. Been doing this since like November 2021. So just been riding it until the wheels fall off, you know?
November 2020, right?
2020. What year is it right now?
We all understand.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I don't need help with the podcast. I need help with life in general.
You're on the wrong show for that, my friend.
Oh, my gosh.
You already talked about how long you've been doing the podcast. What are some things that you've struggled with off and on for, well, you're well into, you're going on a year and a half now.
I say the struggling is just like trying to learn things as I go. I kind of just make mistakes until I kind of figure it out or ask somebody. For me personally, it's just like getting the burnout, and I don't really care about numbers or anything like that, but it's just like doing the editing, being a one-man show, like having like imposter syndrome and just like trying to get stuff out there. But I made a promise, just as long as I put something out each week, even if it sucks, just do it anyway. So I think the technical side is a big one, but just I'd say like keeping the train rolling.
Can we talk about that keeping the train rolling? You're saying you feel like sometimes it's not that good. It might suck. What are some indicators? What are some, let's say, key performance indicators to make this very business-like? What are some things that you might see happen that would make you feel less that way? Like, would having more listeners make you feel like it was better? Or is there something out there that if it happened, you'd say, okay, this is an indication of improvement?
I would say more like social media interactions, which I've kind of been declining recently just because of like personal problems. But I'm pretty good on social media. I've had help with like other people I've interviewed and stuff. But I feel like numbers and stuff are fine, but I like sometimes I don't know where they come from unless I look at the stats. But yeah, I would say like probably the social media side. Sometimes I just feel like silly posting things on social media because I'm like, when you keep posting and nothing like is replied, you're like, I'm just yelling out to the air. But it's kind of like putting out episodes anyway. You just got to keep doing it until you hook them.
Is there a certain kind of interaction you're looking for on social? Are you looking to help people? Are you looking to commiserate kind of with people? Or what's the primary goal?
I'm always down to help people. I get a lot of people that DM me because like my thing is on mental health. So I kind of relate to people and they kind of like confide in me and stuff, which is fine. But I think just on the social media, just having just like conversations or like directing them to certain ways or just them talking about the podcast. Because on my episodes, I have like little references I make or like little questions and stuff. So I think it would be good to like have that open forum after somehow.
Can I ask why you do the podcast? You said you made a promise. Maybe just talk about the why for a second.
Yeah, for sure. I created the podcast because I always wanted to do another podcast. But as a bald male with like facial hair, I was like, oh, I'm just going to be another guy out in the sea. So May 5th, 2019, I attempted to kill myself, which I now dub Cinco de Hango. And ever since then, I wanted to help other people. Like,
I'm so glad that was supposed to be funny because I couldn't hold that in.
Yeah, that's how my show is. So I want to do a podcast, but I didn't want to do the same thing everyone else was doing. And I didn't reinvent the wheel. Like, there's mental health podcasts left and right. But I wanted to do it in a way where I use my humor and I use like who I am. I'm very authentic. Talking like 90% of like the stories I show of me is like my life. Like, I talk about my medications, everything. So my goal was to help somebody out there not feel alone. And like probably like the first couple of months, I had people reach out saying thanks for like helping me like go and get therapy and all that stuff. But with mental health, it's tough to talk about. So the way I look at it, it's like break the stigma, crack a smile. Because when you bring people in on the joke, when you don't make fun of something, but you bring them in on the joke, they feel more comfortable talking about it. And I feel like that's been a pretty good success for my message, I would say. But yeah, the reason I took it was just because the way I felt was real crappy. I hated it. And I don't want anyone else to go through that.
So your goal is to simply talk about your personal experiences with mental health once a week. That's the goal.
Not my personal. So I feel like my structure was this. I didn't even like try it. So like I kind of start off with, I have somebody new introduce my episode, kind of like a SNL thing where like they just like, oh, you listen to 20-10 minutes. And then I kind of update what I'm doing about like my therapy and like what's going on, how I'm feeling. I do that, but then I kind of look up a topic or I have people submit like questions or something, like unprofessional answers. But like, yeah, I'll bring up stuff. Like I had one episode where I talked about, like I do like touchy subjects too. So I did one on pedophilia. And I was like, is pedophilia a mental health disorder? And like, I read all these things and it was such a tough episode to do because no one wants to talk about pedophilia on an episode. So it's stuff like that. So I'll learn things along the way because I'm dumb. So the way I paraphrase it to new people is like how they like it. Cause like people are afraid to ask questions. Like I was that kid in school. They're like, oh, there's no stupid questions. I'm like, okay, let me try. Like I was that kid. Like I didn't care. I had no shame in just asking dumb questions. So when I learn things, especially from my interviews, I've done interviews with people that, like, my first interview was on postpartum depression. Like, I don't have a kid. I don't know how that works. And I had no business talking about a woman's body, but I crushed the interview and she loved it. So I take on these types of topics, like, each week.
I have a few kids for you if you want to borrow one.
No.
I think what Greg's trying to ask Tim a little bit is, or the impression I'm getting from Greg, just knowing Greg, how is your growth going? Is it flatline? Is it stalled? Are you fine with that? Are you just doing this to get a podcast out and to kind of give back to the mental health awareness and make people more comfortable with it? Is that strictly your purpose?
I would say more, it's like 60-40, I want to help people. Like if I don't get like big or whatever that means, it's like, yeah, whatever. But if I'm helping people and I'm having fun, And I think that's another thing too. It's like, sometimes I feel like I'm not having fun, but again, I'm still battling my own mental health. But yeah, the goal, like my numbers, I would say right now have definitely gone down a little bit because I've been lacklusting on social media. So I'm kind of figuring out where that's all coming from, which is good. So actually kind of taking a step back and looking at everything, you kind of realize what is actually helping in all that stuff. I actually got signed to a marketing company not too long ago called Digitent Podcast, and they're helping me find advertisements. So I'm on like we're on like a podcast network of other mental health podcasts. And I know the main one is done by like Lou Gehrig's like granddaughter called like, Food of the Gods, where they talk about like mental health with like athletes and stuff. So like they found me on Good Pods and he was like, oh, I want you to join that. So I used to be on Buzzsprout and I would pay for that, but now they have me on Omni and I don't pay for it. So I'm like, all right, that's a win.
Is there a general discomfort for you, Tim, when you think about formulating this podcast more like a business? Is there a discomfort there because it feels less authentic if you were to do that?
Yeah, 100% for sure. Like I definitely would feel like when it came to like the advertisements, I'm like, I'm not just doing anything. Like I can't do that. Like I can spin on that. But yeah, when it comes to like the business side, I think I'm kind of like a beach chair and I kind of fold like under pressure anyway. Mm. So yeah, I'm not a huge fan of that side per se.
I wonder if this might be a perspective thing, because I have worked with people in the past whose primary goal with their podcast is some kind of, and I think I would put you in this category, advocacy. You're trying to draw attention to something. And something that can help a podcast like that draw attention to something is a budget, is some funds. And that puts those creators in an awkward, and I think you're sensing it, an awkward position with what they feel like they should be doing, what they feel is not authentic, getting into the business aspect of it. But ultimately, I feel pretty strongly that if what your goal is with this podcast is to destigmatize all of mental health or part of mental health, we're going to have some conversation, I think, about taking this, treating it more like a function of a business. Greg, am I off base here, Jeff?
I don't think so, because I think that's when you can make the biggest difference. You got to be up to it, though, and that's the first step. But that's when I think you can really start to see things go the way you want them to, not only monetizing, let's say, for example, but the advocacy part and making a difference.
Because that ad revenue, and I get it. I used to do a podcast about mythology, and we never ran ads on it. I refused for the longest period of time to put ads on anything, because I'm like, what does anyone listening to my mythology podcast want to hear a fucking Ford commercial for? Like, it's not in alignment. It makes no sense. They're going to be irritated by it. It's absolutely stupid. And especially with something much more touchy, like what you're doing, I would be all the more sensitive about it, I think. But when I finally gave in and started running ads on that particular show, I was able to do things with that money that extended beyond paying me for my own time or helping me make equipment upgrades. I was actually able to make donations to a storytelling-based nonprofit that was in alignment. So making money with your podcast, you could structure it as a nonprofit. It would take a long time to get an official 501c3, but you could get a piece of paper that said you could operate as one until the approval went through. And then you could take some of these donations, or I mean, you could absolutely take donations, but you could take some of these sponsorships and you could turn that money right around and build off the back of this podcast something that did more than just produce media, maybe made a real serious impact financially. Greg, did you have thoughts?
Yeah, I'm really torn on a lot of things regarding this podcast. One is because it's the fun part of podcasts to just kind of sit down and riff, right? We see it with a lot of different podcasts, like the Brocasts of 10 years ago, where you get together with a bunch of friends and you just talk about stuff that has nothing to do with anyone else but the people in the room. Right? Like that's the fun part of podcasting. I think even when you're talking about mental health, when you can speak from the soul with very little prep, it makes it much more fun.
And therapeutic.
And therapeutic. But what happens is that a podcast under those conditions can only thrive to a certain size. And then those things that make a podcast better feel like work. And it is something that Jeff and Tanner and I struggle with on this podcast. Who's going to do the damn work? Because there's a lot of it. We tell Tanner to do it mostly. But like, you know, I'm assuming you have a full-time job. I'm assuming you have friends. You have things you want to do, right? The idea of prepping, writing ads, writing a script, or at least an outline, making sure that your copy is on point. That will take more time than the 20 minutes it takes to record the podcast, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right. So, you know, for me, I think we can take this a couple of different ways, right? I think you can do it either Tanner's way of let's see if you can get a couple of bucks in and get some help. Gear is good help. Somebody to help you with social media. That's good help. There's all sorts of people that want to volunteer their time for mental health purposes and reasons. I bet you could find people to help you for free. And I bet you could find organizations that would fund you for free because you're talking about the things that they want to promote and it's an extension of their stuff. But to do that, I think it takes that what you feel with the sucky part, like you're like, I'm going to get an episode out even if it sucks. I've been podcasting for a very long time. Dude, I've been there. Like I did a fandom podcast where like I watched the show and then had to come up here right after and record a podcast with almost no prep, no understanding. I couldn't say the people's names, but we got it out because I felt like I had to. And I think and what I learned the hard way is quality over quantity. Like if I could just do two shows a month, but they were on message, on brand and perfect, they would get better listeners. So I know that's kind of a long diatribe. I don't want to go on forever, but does that sound like where you're at with the show? Like, is it, or is, am I off base?
No, it pretty accurate. I think when I say like a show sucks, I pretty much say it every week. And it's, I have bipolar. So my moods are off and it depends what day, like I can't plan it. So some days I go into it and I'm like, yeah, I don't want to do this, but I do it anyway. So I think it kind of makes for good content. They're like, oh, this guy's going through it. Like one episode, I was definitely like mid spiral and I don't do it on purpose. Like, oh, look at me. Like I have mental health and you should like, I'm not trying to do that, but it's like, I want to be authentic as much as I can. And it's like, I don't want to half step. I don't half step anything. So I want to like just be who I am. And just to back up a little bit, it's funny what you said about like the donation thing. On my first t-shirt sales, I did pretty well and I donated $300 out of it to a local suicide prevention center out of Plymouth, Massachusetts. So yeah, that was like a big thing for me too. Like I'm down for making money, but like I'm down to share it too for like little organizations like nonprofits and stuff. And like I did okay with like those sales, but then like I have other merch that's just kind of just collecting dust right now.
So when you talked about earlier, you made comments about it can be hard to keep going. This was actually before we started recording. You had mentioned to me, I think before the other guys showed up, that it can be hard for you to find the motivation to show up behind the mic once a week. Some days it's hard. You just mentioned you're bipolar. I'm going to ask because I don't want to assume you're medicated for this.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And does that, you have to excuse my ignorance on bipolar because I don't understand it really at all. Does that have an impact on motivation, or is that, I have ADHD, so I kind of look at everything through that lens. I imagine it's completely different. It's probably why it's called something different, but I can definitely identify with a difficulty sometimes to just focus on a thing you know you have to get done, but for some reason you're completely checking out of having to do it. Do you struggle? Is that the struggle for you?
Yeah, actually, I'm diagnosed ADHD, bipolar too, and general anxiety. So like I battle those two things where like my mood will swing up inside down. And then the ADHD part's like, yeah, I don't want to do anything right now. And I'll think about like a million things. I'll like play on my phone. So the motivation aspect to get it going is probably my biggest battle, is to go into it. Some days I do it last minute. Some days it's late. But then some days I prep, I feel great. I'm like, oh, it's going to be a great episode. And it is. And I have to keep reminding myself on that. But like with bipolar, so like I had to take I took meds. So like, you know, like the beep beep machines when someone's like on life support, like mine would be like crazy, like up and down. So like my medication caps that off. So it still happens, but not as extreme. But yeah, definitely. I agree with everything you just said.
Do you think that having a podcast that was structured a little bit more like a business, or for the sake of this conversation, a nonprofit, having those responsibilities to, okay, if I show up, that means I might raise money for people who need help. Do you think that having that additional motivator, is that the kind of thing that triggers stress for you? Or is that the kind of thing that would push you through that difficulty of focusing and showing up?
If I asked for it, I wouldn't be stressed if it was like brought down on me, which I don't even know like the idea of like how that would happen. But no, if I like come up with it, I'll be more motivated because I hate letting people down. Especially like, I don't mind letting myself down. I can deal with that. But when somebody else, it's like, so my word is my bond. And if I say something that I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. So I was like, this case with the t-shirt sales or whatever, I didn't tell them. I was like, I'm going to do this for me. And that's what I did. And I did it for them without them knowing. So yeah, I think when I have like an outline of like what I need to do or a deadline, I'm like, I got to do it. But when it's something like, oh, I can delay the episode by a day because I can, I'll do it. But if it was like, oh, you have to have it by this day to accomplish this, I'm like, all right, let's do it.
So Jeff, Greg, does anything come to mind when you hear that response? Anything different?
I mean, a little bit different for me. to me, I just wanted to make sure that before I gave any like soul crushing advice that you wanted it. You know what I mean?
I want all the smoke.
Yeah. Because, you know, really what I find is that you have a broad kind of organized show that I just wrote down as you told me. But when I listened to about six episodes and I listened to six episodes of you solo, and then I listened to two interviews, and it's like you're a different person when you have someone on the phone. Like, you're super cordial and funny, and it seems like you're 10 times more organized. And I found myself like going, wow, you know, like, this show's pretty good. I never would have thought to talk to a professional wrestler, like, but this show ended up being pretty good. And then the shows when you're by yourself, I feel like were hit and miss. They were sometimes, what I always say is the product met the brand, right? Like, you pop open a Coca-Cola and it tastes like Coca-Cola, right? Like, and the brand is the title of your, you know, it's your show, and then the title of your episode, and then what you deliver to the consumer. And I feel like maybe half of them did that, right? Like, you eventually meandered your way to what the title said, but on a couple of them, you kind of went the long way around. If I'm just going to be honest, and those shows I would say were not as good as the ones where you were like, hey, let me tell you about this disorder. This is what it means. This is how people react to it. This is my experience with it. I've talked to these people about it. I've researched this stuff about it. Those are good. Like, I found myself going, damn, I didn't know anything about that. You know, he's clearly done his research. He's not a doctor, just a dude like having hard conversations. But, you know, I mean, it's important to understand that, you know, to do those things, I think you'll grow a bigger audience if you want to. Right. Like, that's really what it boils down to.
Well, if you want to grow a bigger audience, if you want to potentially raise some money for some good causes, it sounds like, Greg, what you're really getting at here is, Tim, when you're solo, go out of your way to put a little bit more structure in it, because that's when it seems like how you perform the best solo. But what I'm really getting out of what Greg just said is, do more interviews, because just the presence of another person seems to change you in a way that seems better. Greg, is that kind of what you're getting at? At least from an entertainment information perspective?
No, I just think what happens is it forces him to be more organized. And so that when he gets the other person on the phone, you know, he's a rock star. But when he's by himself, it's just like, okay, I'm going to talk about ADHD for 20 minutes. Mm. So go.
Which will turn into 60 minutes because we have ADHD. So Tim, why don't you have more guests? How many guests do you have? Is it kind of random? Do you just take them as you can find them? Are they hard to get?
Yeah and no. So I kind of took like a forced break on them because the editing was so ridiculous. And I was just like, I get a lot of personal problems going on, which isn't anything important. But like, that was kind of like bringing me back, and I like switched schedules and stuff. But my interviews are great. I think my interviews are great, and I agree with you. I think to back up with just my weekly shows, I think you can tell which ones I were having some issues that week, or I crammed. Like, I understand. Like, you, dude, I agreed with everything you just said. I'm like, yeah, so at least someone could see it. But yeah, my interviews are great because I have such a wide variety of guests, and like, everyone wants to come on. Like, anyone that reached out to me, I'm like, whoa. Like, I had Jessica Michelle Singleton, who's like a stand-up comedian at the, the Comedy Store in LA. Like, she's like a mainstay. She does it like every night. And I was like, whoa, that's crazy. And then Kara Parrish from MTV's Buck Wild found me on Twitter, and like, we're like best friends. And like, she helped me with like SEOs. Like, I didn't even know what SEO stood for. So like, I do make these network connections with people that like get me other guests. Like, I had Felicity Feline on. She's a porn star. And it's like, all these people have different like mental health issues, and no one realizes it because everyone's different. It's like, most people think porn stars are like not even people. I do agree with everything with the interviews. I have six of them ready to go. I just haven't edited them yet. And I have Chris Herron coming on soon, which is going to be great. I don't know if you know him, former Boston Celtic drug addict.
Oh yeah. That's a very popular 30 for 30 special.
Yeah.
So editing is really getting in the way here. editing is maybe the number one problem you'd like to solve, it sounds like.
Yeah. And I got like a MacBook 2013. I got to like put D batteries in it to get it going. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it still works, but it's, I had to delete everything off it. Like, it has like nothing on it. And I have like a 1 terabyte to put like extra things on so I can like not have them on my computer, which I kind of just figured out. But yeah.
Well, how big is your show? I mean, forgive me for just being so blunt, but I want to know how far we are away from like to some real monetization opportunities. So what does your show do? What does your podcast do like in an episode, one episode in a month, you think?
Like for numbers wise?
Yeah. Just a single episode.
Like 100.
Like 100.
I would say it averages like 100, like each episode per month, I would say.
Okay.
So there's definitely a disparity there because it sounds like it could be way more based on the traction you're getting with some people with some recognizable names on social. Greg, did that stand out to you as being a little odd?
Well, it's just the disparity between YouTube and podcasting, honestly. And I went through and I spent a little time digging through your YouTube channel. And, I take these interviews pretty seriously. And I saw that you had some that had tens of thousands of views, and then you had some that had like 40 views. And I've lived that life. You know, I showed my one channel I had to Tanner a couple of days ago, and I've lived that life. And there's no greater lesson for what should and shouldn't be on YouTube than the disparity in views between different types of episodes.
Right.
I mean, I think I even saw one that was like 20 something thousand views.
It was either Felicity or Cody. I forget. It's definitely based off like the social media aspect. I think like with my SEOs and like the hashtags, mm-hmm. everything used.
Yeah.
But I still put them all up because I did them. And then like, if I can get just one person out of that, like social media, like person that like puts it on their Twitter or whatever, I'm like, yeah, it's a win.
Yeah. But what happens is this SEO biting you, right? Because, When someone watches one of your popular videos and then they skip, YouTube will say, oh, Tim's got another video. Would you like to watch it? And they don't, you're off the algorithm, man. It's bad, bad, bad news. The thing about it is that YouTube content and podcast content are different. And I think that 20 minutes of kind of Tim may be too much for YouTube to handle. I almost think 2 to 5 minutes of Tim 5 days a week would blow that up. Honestly, like, hey, if you're struggling with bipolar, I am. Here's what I did today to overcome it. I hope you have a good day. This is Tim. I'm out.
So kind of like a vlog, maybe?
Vloggy, but short with the same content of whatever you plan on talking about that week. So you don't have to reinvent the wheel. Like, you're not repurposing your actual recordings, but you're repurposing your effort.
That's Greg, I feel that's great advice. Thinking about using the podcast more as a, because Tim, you've got a great voice. Everybody who hears a voice like the voice you have just automatically loves it, unless they live in Boston, they hear it all the time. It doesn't sound special to them.
Appreciate it, man.
But to the rest of us, like people from Maine, people from Boston, people from places that have these very distinct accents, people love to listen to them.
Most of you listening to this are aware that I have a different conversation that I share every single episode. Well, I've discovered an amazing tool that's helping me do that in the best quality, simplistic, great way possible. Boomcaster. I've recently made this big change and I was a little nervous at first, but I'm so glad that I did because it's been an amazing experience. If you don't know what Boomcaster is, you really got to look into this because if you are frequently recording conversations on some platform like Zoom, it's just not designed for that. And I'll explain. Boomcaster is actually designed for content creators, podcasters. You can schedule, stream, and record all from one platform. They are just dedicated to indie podcasters and independent content creators. They deliver studio quality audio and video every time, all the time. You can record and live stream to reach the biggest audience possible. Let me explain why you got to get caught up with the times here. Traditional conferencing solutions rely on network speed for each participant. That is not the case with Boomcaster. It saves locally and uploads to the cloud, giving you the freedom to record from anywhere. And that's significant as far as the audio delay and all those things that you experience when you're creating content and recording. Like I said, I know the people at Boomcaster personally, and I vouch for them. They support us indie podcasters. We need to support the independent creators like them. It's time to upgrade to Boom. And you know what? If you use the code IndiePodcaster at checkout, you'll get your 30 days free plus 50% off your first 3 months. That's incredible. If you want to legitimize the content you are creating, you've got to use Boomcaster.
So you've got that going for you. You're also, you're a good looking guy. You look good on camera. Your space is interesting. It's got some depth to it. It doesn't pain anybody to look at this. You're not like on a crappy Zoom with a white wall behind you and nothing's going on. And I think that if you can deliver all those things with some snappy introspection and some useful information, but you can keep it tight, I think it'd probably be easier for you, frankly, because it'd be far less to edit and it would be more useful. And like Greg is talking about with the YouTube algorithm, which he knows a lot about and I know absolutely nothing about, it sounds like that's what they want. They want 5 to 10 minute content that people are going to want to binge as opposed to listening to one and then deciding that it wasn't very good because it went in too many directions and it couldn't hold their attention. I mean, people have no attention span. So I think applying what you already do just in a shorter, tighter format, keeping it a little bit more structured on YouTube and keeping maybe the podcast to, I don't know if you were going in this direction, Greg, but keeping the podcast to these extended interviews and putting those interviews in both places, but having the podcast be the interviews and having the long videos on YouTube be the interviews and having all the short content just be those little snippets. Is that the direction you were going, Greg?
I mean, that's definitely a strategy that I think would work better than the current strategy, but I do like these short form solo podcasts when they're on point. Like when you have a specific message to deliver and you want to deliver it without a guest kind of murking it up. I do really like those episodes. I feel like, you know, when you're on, you're funny, you say crazy stuff, you add in interesting things that are kind of going on in your life. Like you'll mention a TV show. You'll be like, hey, I was watching this and this, and man, you know, I was so depressed. I just watched the whole season or whatever you were talking about in that episode that right. I found myself going, man, I've done that. Like I have done that. So I don't necessarily think that you should cut them, but I do think that there's two types of kind of podcast listeners. There's podcast listeners that listen to guests and like interaction. Mm. And then there's podcasts that listen to solo podcasters. And a lot of times they're not the same. And mixing them on a show is really tricky because it's not the same show technically.
Right. Yeah. Cause I would do my episodes on Tuesdays and then the interviews on Thursdays, but I took a break. So I'm getting them all in order now and I'm going to go back on that. Yeah. I would see different numbers with that on the audio version too, depending on who it was or the topic and things. Cause obviously like when I got like Al Snow from like the WWF, like he was bigger than somebody else that was probably like lesser known. But no, I know exactly what you're saying. Now with the shorter videos, like, is that like, cause I felt like I did one, I usually do a preview of an episode like on Instagram from time to time when I release my episode, but I edit it so I could put it on the IG Reels and I got a lot of views on that. I didn't know if like that translated. Like I tried doing the TikTok and I'm like, this is even more shit I got to deal with.
Yeah. You might want to start up a sub channel to test YouTube Shorts where you can just take a clip. I hate repurposed content. Honestly, I hate it. I think you'd be much better just picking up your phone and doing a 2 minute kind of blurb on something. You might have to do it 4 or 5 times so you sound coherent, which is normal, right? But instead of trying to take a 2 minute clip out of your podcast and then like size it and shrink it to be on IG Reels, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Google, how do I turn it from 10:19:20 by, you know, and then how do I make it vertical? Like, dude, I know.
Yeah.
I get it. Like,
that's exactly what I did last week.
I wouldn't do any of that.
Okay.
You know, you can up your production quality over time, but the idea is it's all about the content, 100% about the content. There's a podcast that you should check out. It's a time podcast called Hack Your Time.
Hack Your Time.
Yeah. And, you know, Vicky is I interviewed her on my show and she is the queen of the short specific podcast episode. You know, time management is kind of mental health. It's a blurry line, but I think if you found a couple of shows to just get some inspiration from, it would totally change your perspective. You go, oh, I see how they're doing that. Like, oh, that makes total sense to me.
That's what I kind of do right now, but I just kind of just see it randomly. I don't really seek it out. I'm like, oh, like that's how they do it. And a lot of people are nice. I'll just message them like, yo, how did you do that?
We're already really deep into the content part of it. And I'm actually the one that said to Greg, hey, you need to check out. And I don't know if he had already or not, but I actually did say to Greg, you need to check out some of the interviews. Greg, I don't know if that was why you did it or not, but.
It is. I started from your newest show and worked backwards. And I thought, okay, well, you know, there's some stuff that we can do here. And I mentioned it to Jeff and he said, go back, go to the way back. So that's what I did.
I said that because I can tell a difference with you just from now till, I don't know, let's just say 3 months ago. There's a big difference on the heart that you have in it, put it that way, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously you've been going through things. That's why I suggested the interview thing, because I absolutely love those. And I think that's the humor aspect that you bring to this mental health, because it's a very serious, sad thing. I think that's what attracts to me, you know, never been very public about some of the struggles I have. I really enjoyed those interviews where you'd bring people on that had that, because when we're struggling with it, and it's different for everybody, right? But when we're struggling with it, you almost forget that, you know? You almost forget that aspect of it. And that actually helps me. So I love the interviews, and I really love the ones that really relate to it. I don't remember the name of the comedian.
Was it Frank King?
It was Frank King, yes. I thought that just hit the hammer on the nail as far as relating to the content of your podcast. So I think, to me, we got to figure out a way. You have to figure out a way to, I can tell you really like the weekly updates, but you don't want to give yourself too much work. And I think that's like your struggle, right? Because
yeah.
Editing is hard. It takes a long time. Prioritizing what we think, you know, what you think is going to work for this podcast is absolutely critical. I think you got to have a little bit of both if you just go one way, Tim. I mean, I don't know what you're feeling. Which one do you enjoy more, man?
That's good. It's so sometimes like behind the scenes, like I'll cancel on interviews when I'm not in the mood. Cause like, I'm the same way. Like I don't want to go somewhere like a party if I'm being a wet blanket. So like, I won't do an interview unless I'm like hyped that day. So there's been times that, like I look hype in them cause I got to make myself like that. And I feel bad when I have to cancel. Sometimes I'm honest, but like sometimes I make up an excuse cause that's just how my like DNA makeup is from my mind. So I do enjoy the interviews. It's funny. I don't enjoy them until I record them. And then I do my rock, paper, scissors with them. And that's when it breaks the ice, because every interview I've had, the guest was like, this was the best interview I've had. And like, they're not even gassing me up, because I had John's Crazy Socks on. It's a sock company owned by a gentleman with Down syndrome. So I had them on, him and his dad. And I talked to his dad a lot. And he said, the easiest thing of my life was raising a son with Down syndrome. Everything else was terrible. Like he talked about his mental health, and they were on like CNN. Like they have a Microsoft commercial. Like they're like kind of like big time. And he was like, this was the most different interview I've ever done. And I've like never forget like him saying that, because I usually do follow-ups. He emailed me after and said all that stuff. And I was like, that's so cool. So I think if I had to pick one, I'd say the interviews I like a little bit more. But sometimes I just like yelling at myself when no one's in here.
Okay, so a little bit of an unorthodox opinion here. I'm going to ask a question. Greg's eyes are going to fall out of his head, I think. What do you think about the idea? Because, dude, I understand entirely the canceling of interviews. I can't tell you how badly sometimes I want to do that. It has nothing to do with the guest. It has everything to do with, oh man, I forgot about this interview. It's in 2 hours. I got plenty of time, but I thought my day was over and now it's not over.
Yeah. Been there, dude.
Yeah. It sucks. Something, and I usually would never recommend this. In fact, I can't believe I'm saying it, but I think that the product that you are getting out is potentially so important to so many people. You know, the kind of conversations you have may very well save a life. You don't know. It really could. It could prevent somebody from taking it that one step further that day if they heard it. What do you think about not having the podcast, the audio version of the podcast, release on a specific day? What if you just opened it up to some weeks it released on Mondays, some weeks it released on Thursdays? Would that create a situation where you felt less pressure around designing what days the interviews were on? If it was just on, hey, you know what? I got space on a Wednesday this week. I don't have to make it work on Friday at 2:00. We can do Wednesday at 6:00. It works. Because I think for your community, maybe the important thing is just that it gets out. I don't think this is one of those genres where, hey, if it's not here on Friday at 3 p.m., I'm going to be upset about it.
Right. 100%. I think my situation is a little bit different. So I my hours and days off change. So I work 3 to 10 p.m. and I work 4 days on, 2 days off. So I don't always have the certain days off. So some days I'm like, oh, so I have my Calendly, like I use that for my interviews and stuff, so I can organize it then. So I'll delete dates that I'm like, I can't do nothing on that day because I got to do this. But it is like my motivation. So say like last week, I went away to New Hampshire and I totally forgot about the episode. So like I had to like come home and I'm in a bad mood and I had to record on like Monday night at midnight. But like the rest of my week, I'm doing overtime and I don't have any openings that week. So I kind of have to force myself into it. So like today I have tonight off. I'm going to record my episode tonight for Tuesday. And I'm just trying to get back into like a repetitive state.
So you would actually, it works better for you. You would prefer that the interviews happen on the same day. That's easier for you.
Yeah. So when I book them, I'll record them. And then I gotta give myself ample time to edit them until they come out. So what I was doing is I took a break so I can get all these interviews done, edit them so I can just release them and not have to deal with them every Thursday. They just come out. You know what I mean? So I have less work to do, but yeah, motivation.
Go ahead, Greg. I see you nodding your head.
No. I was just trying to think of how much like $100 a month would change the entire podcast completely, because that's probably what you would need to hire like an editor, you know, a basic, not a good one, but like a mediocre one.
I love it when Greg debases the value of my services. No, I'm just kidding, Greg. But Greg's not wrong here. You could hire somebody from the Philippines or Thailand for somewhere between $30 to $50 an episode. And while that job would not be the same job as you would have from somebody like me, and you would have to deal with time differences and communication things that are, you know, happen when you do work that way, mm-hmm. You could get all your editing off your plate for $100 is kind of low, but maybe like $150 for the month. I bet you could stay under.
Not video, though. Video is a different beast, unfortunately. Yeah.
That one's, I don't really, if you watch that, like, I don't really edit much into that. It's just like the intro, outro. So it's pretty basic. It's just because, like, I'm a human cartoon character. So I figure people see how animated I get.
Yeah, I agree with you, Tanner. I don't know that I would necessarily hold myself to releasing on a certain day or a certain time, even, you know, the studies are iffy if consistency really makes that big of a difference or not. I mean, some people swear by it. Other people have math that says it doesn't matter if it, you know, you wiggle a day or two or three in the week. I think logically the human brain wants to say, well, my show comes out ready for Tuesday morning drive to work or drive home or lunchtime or whatever, but it probably doesn't matter. They queue up, people get to them when they get to them.
Right. I agree with that. I think what it is, too, it's like when I have people finally reach out, they're like, oh, where's your episode's not out today. So like I take that into consideration. I'm like, well, this person is reaching out that listens to it, but I can't clump them into the same person. Like, and I know like the bumps come out when like the new episode comes out. I actually have my own app. I shouldn't even, like, I have no reason to have my own app, but like I'll put the notification out there when my episode's out, too. So I definitely have like different avenues to do that. I think just like my life schedule is insane. And I think time management and like thinking about like paying somebody to do that type of work is definitely something I'm going to start considering.
I love that the longer we talk to Tim, the more we find out about just truly how ADHD he is. Like he just casually says, I have a fucking app. I shouldn't have one. And I'm like, oh boy, do I get you, man.
If you download the 22 Minutes app on Android and iPhone.
He's even got it on both platforms.
Yeah, baby. That's all my networking. My whole life is networking. I feel like that's the best thing. I think that's my best trait. I think a lot of people should network more. And I think people use networking to for like the wrong reasons. I just love chatting with people. And then I'm like, oh, you need this? What's up?
Well, then it seems like what we definitely need here is, or what you definitely need here is, you need labor to get the things that aren't networking and talking out of the way.
That's what I was thinking.
That's what you need most, which just reinforces the idea that you need some revenue for this, because you would probably be able to get, Jeff, help me out on the YouTube part here, but I think if he could generate a $500 a month-ish sponsorship, he might be able to handle the editing for YouTube as well.
I pay $150 an episode for mine, which I think is low. I really had to find somebody to do it that low. I don't think editing on YouTube is going to be as critical, especially if you adopt the new strategy of vlog style, kind of.
Yeah, I like that one a lot.
Run and gun a little bit. So I wouldn't worry too much about YouTube, honestly. The other thing I was thinking is you're going to have to get above 100 downloads an episode to start making it interesting to a sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
You probably, maybe, hopefully, maybe can get some money from some mental health charity that could sponsor you. They spend a lot of money, even though it seems like that money goes to like people in need. They also pay for programs that help people like you, right? Like it goes to people and programs. You might be able to go and just tell them what you're doing. They might even hear this and approach you, but you might be able to get $500 a month, mm-hmm. 1 year contract. You know, you get six grand and you spend it all on the podcast. And
are you looking at me when you said that?
I was thinking about you. But I mean, you're going to need about 500 downloads an episode, I think, to get anyone interested, right? Because if let's say you have a mental health related product, 10% conversion is unheard of. That's five people, or that's 50. That's 50 people, right? Sorry, not five. You're more like 1%, which is five people. Right. So if someone's going to give you, let's say, $500 a month, they're going to need more than five customers a week. You know what I'm saying? So that's how you got to think about it.
But that is only true if the sponsor is somebody who's selling a product or a service. If the sponsorship comes out of what you suggested before, the United Way is like this. I used to work for the United Way, and I didn't know that there were nonprofits that existed that were essentially fundraising middlemen. They have the presence so they can go out and raise large sums of money, and then they divvy that money up to deliver to other nonprofits within their local communities, for United Way specifically. And I think Greg is dead on. I think that while you don't have a lot of listeners, I mean, you're in Boston, so there's bound to be a local serving nonprofit probably within a stone's throw from your house.
Yeah, no, for sure.
That could very well be convinced that helping to support you could be very in alignment with what they're doing. And the thing is, with nonprofits, they have to spend the money.
Yeah.
They got to spend it. And to Greg's point, it doesn't always go, it doesn't go towards much paying the salaries of anybody who's there. It goes mostly towards services or towards marketing to make those services better. So I think you have a better shot at getting some money in the door than maybe you think.
Well, that's what I was saying, like for a product, you're going to need more than 100 downloads. But at your current state, I do think you could go take your personality and win a sponsorship just to help you grow it from the ground up. And, you know, you're going to have to interview some people from that place, and they're going to ask for stuff.
Yeah, promote them. Yeah.
but it's probably stuff you would give for free.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That's actually, I like that idea a lot. I didn't even know that was like an option for like nonprofits. That's, you learn something new every day.
Well, and who knows? I know personally that there are quite a number of mental health people who follow my show. And I know that people from all of our shows individually are funneling through to listen to this show. And they may be listening and thinking, I would help this kid out for 100, 200 bucks a month. I'd absolutely do that. So if somebody who is listening thinks that, you know, Tim could really benefit from being your beneficiary, you know, reach out to one of us or reach out to Tim directly. Reach out to us and we'll connect you with Tim. That'll probably be more comfortable for Tim. And, you know, we'd love to help you help him, because he really is doing a great show, and he's got to get the technical shit out of the way, because that's not where he shines. Where he shines is in the creation of the content, which is the case for all of us, really.
Right.
Where he shines is that beautiful bald head. Who are we kidding here?
Yeah. Oof. This thing's shiny.
Let's talk about from just a branding standpoint. He is 20, 10 minutes. How does this tie into some of these ideas that we've pitched today? Because I think we're all in agreement, and even Tim, because he enjoys it the most. These interviews are great. They're an important part of what he's trying to do and the message that he's trying to drive. And I relate to that not only because like I feel like as an interviewer, you're kind of like me as far as laid back approach and all that. But the message that you're trying to give is a lot bigger than yourself. So when you bring somebody else on, that's a driving factor for myself, at least with Indie Podcaster, right? It's not about me. It's about the content creators. Mm-hmm. So if it was just me sitting there chatting about how podcasting sucks, I probably wouldn't even have 100 downloads. But you see my point. The selling point of my podcast is that whole engagement piece on the show, during the show. But how do we tie this all in with the 20-minute theme, or does it even fucking matter?
So the 20-minute, like the joke was like, because like I can only pay attention for 20 minutes, because that's why I do the episode for 20 minutes, because like I can barely talk to myself for that long. So that was like the running gag was the 20-10 minutes, but then it kind of took off into like the interviews and stuff, and it was kind of like a gag. Because I love like playing pranks and like doing things like the rock, paper, scissors thing I do with my guests. And so like when I meet them, like, oh, is this like 20 minutes? I'm like, oh no, that's just my name now. Like that's how it goes. And I asked my wife, and I was like, should I like change the name? She's like, no, like 20 to 10 minutes is you, like that's your person. So I think with that marketing company too that I'm with, they were like, you don't have to change the name, but like, I think I might have to add something so you know it's a mental health podcast. I think that's probably like the gray area I have, I would say, because it's like 20, 10 minutes. I have no idea what I'm getting into. But like, I kind of think that's funny because like when people come on and they don't know what they're getting into, like I love when I have interviews and they don't listen to the show. I think that's the best.
I think you just set that up perfectly for where I was going with it. And I knew one of these two guys would eventually, they knew where I was going, put it that way.
Jeff's getting at something right here. I mean, we're talking about a show that is where the focus is not you. The focus is 100% other people. You are focusing on yourself as a way of helping other people, but the name of the show suggests that it's not about helping other people, that it is about you. And there is a little bit of friction, I think, caused by that name. However, everybody now knows you as that. I don't like suggesting rebranding. In fact, like if it were me, the direction that I would go is 20, 10 minutes is, okay, that's the name of the podcast. But my wild ass would go and start a nonprofit. And 20, 10 minutes would be a production of, you know, Boston Mental Health 501c3. That is what I would do. That's a lot, though. So I don't know if that's what anybody else here would do. Greg is sneering. Hello, Greg. What do you have, old Greg?
Hey, we know what Greg would say. If he was going to name it, it would be Ha Mental Health. Anyways, go ahead, Greg.
It would be called Tim's Mental Health Podcast. That's what I would have named it. I'm just cracking up at Tanner because he is 100% not lying about this starting a nonprofit thing. And he would announce it on his show tomorrow. Like it would go from ideation today.
Before I filed the paperwork, 100%.
You would talk about it launching tomorrow.
We'd all be in on it.
Yeah, the name is like every podcaster I come across. It's clever and confusing, right? It's funny and means nothing, right? Like I think your marketing network is spot on. You're going to want to call it 2010 minutes dash a mental health podcast or something.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go.
I don't think that you should change it because I don't know. I just think that, you know, you have your whole brand wrapped around it. You've had people on, you've had big name guests. It's never too late to rebrand, but I don't really think it would make a bit of difference if you add the little tag on to the end. You have 255 characters, might as well use it.
And it doesn't have to be the same as YouTube, right? Because I know a guy that I really like, and I've had him on my podcast, Chris Van Vliet. He has a podcast that's popular. He has a YouTube that's even more popular. They're not named the same thing at all. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, you're you, right? You have your brand, and then you have the brand of your shows. Since you disclose your full name, I would embrace the hell out of that, right? Like, you're not afraid to claim your work, which is an advantage, right? So on YouTube, you can just call it like, I don't know, you could call it like 20 mental health minutes with Tim or something.
Right, right, right.
You could call it two minutes with Tim or something, right? You could call it anything you want. You could just call it your name, right? And the YouTube algorithm, it cannot be gamed, contrary to what anyone believes. The hashtags don't mean anything. Downvotes, they don't mean anything. What means something is people watching it. And your retention time. Can you keep people engaged? Shares, engagement, comments. That's what matters, right? So when people say they game the algorithm, chances are they go, tell me what color I should paint my car in the comments.
Right, right, right.
Right? That's gaming the algorithm. Nothing else makes any difference. You can title it anything. Paper mache.
That's what happened with one of my episodes. Because I brought up missing white woman syndrome in an episode, and it was right before that, like, because the woman that got killed by her boyfriend. I put that in my title notes, and I got like the most views of that because it was brought up that week, like a day after that term was brought up after me, because I just learned about it. So I had people commenting on the episode that definitely didn't watch it, and like people were, like, battling each other. So like I feel like putting that word, like white women syndrome, in my title definitely helped the view count.
Yeah. The kicker with titles is that it's like a Google rank, right? So
yeah,
the more popular your show is, the higher it's going to rank when someone searches for something that's in your title. That's why I say titles don't matter. They clearly matter.
Yeah.
But when they don't matter, it's when you're a small YouTuber and you title it something that a lot of people search for, you'll never find it. And then when you're a big YouTuber, who cares? You can title it anything because nobody's searching for your content. People are just watching it in the algorithm.
Right.
So yes, it matters, but not to where I would change your whole approach. I think what matters on YouTube is nailing the content, right? Doing top fives, doing, mental health moments. What do you do if you start to have a panic attack? You know, what happens if your friend keeps canceling? Does he hate you or is he depressed? Right? Like all these things you go through throughout your life that you experience, just write them all down. That's a video. 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 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever it ends up being.
You're a professional. I love it. I love this. This is really good insight. I appreciate it.
I think the YouTube channel should just be Mental Health with Tim McCarthy. We want to associate mental health with your name across the blogosphere, webosphere, videosphere, whatever. We want Tim McCarthy to become synonymous with mental health discussion. So don't change the podcast name. But when you title things in the future, if you start a blog, if you start a Substack, if you start a video channel, like Greg is suggesting for shorts, put mental health in your name in the title of it, because that's the brand. You are the ambassador. Not really, but we're going to talk about it that way. You're the ambassador of mental health. That's how we want to think about Tim McCarthy.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Now, titles on your podcast are like gold, because the algorithms in podcast apps are like basic. They're so basic from a technology perspective. It doesn't even, there's no algorithm, right? It's literally a plain text search. And then they're in the search results of Apple and Spotify, they're ranked by how many new follows and things you get. But in every podcast app out there besides Apple and Spotify, which are the biggest, you could totally name your episode something, something mental health and get on the first page. I mean, you can see how I do it by, you know, I show up big in like iHeart and TuneIn and those types of apps because I work hard on titles, and it doesn't make as much difference on Spotify and Apple. I know those are the biggest, but you can get a big audience on these other apps.
Good to know. Good to know.
Jeff, back to you.
Yeah. All right, Jeff, take us home, baby.
Yeah. I think that, you know, we can probably take this offline on the, some of the, and I know Tim actually had questions about the audio quality part of that. We can address some of that offline. I don't think we need to hold down the fort here any longer, but I do think that, you know, I think we're all agreeing that if done right, Tim, and it could be completely organic, this podcast could do really well. Obviously, that takes structure and discipline, but your audience would be a little bit more understanding than mine, maybe, or Tanner or Greg's. And I think, you know, you got to play into that. And that's just part of it. We all do that with the things that, with the content that we're creating, unless one of these guys have anything else to say.
No, it's been awesome to get to meet you, Tim. I will be a follower of your podcast now moving forward for sure. I know Greg will as well. It's going to be into his rotation, and we'll have more conversations, especially in the, I assume that you have joined our new Twitter group. So you're part of that.
Oh yeah.
Okay, cool. So we'll talk there. We'll talk more there. What about you, Greg?
Well, nice to meet you, Tim. And there's no obligation here, by the way. Like we're here to help. No one's under any obligation to go action any of the stuff.
Wait, what about our $50? We don't get $50?
We get the $50.
Oh, okay, okay. But that's from Jeff. That's from Jeff.
Yeah, because we would never show up if it was without the $50.
Okay, got it.
But yeah, don't, you know, everything we say is not, you know, it's just advice. And some of it's good, but some of it may not fit. If you know, you hang up from this and you noodle it and you go, you know, that was, you know, well-intentioned, but I'm not going to do it. You're not going to hurt our feelings.
I really appreciate you guys having me on and stuff. But I feel like this kind of conversation, which was really good, this is like really good constructive criticism, which I like. This is a great show you guys have. It definitely like relit something in me right now, because like I don't want the way I look at it, I don't want to waste your guys' time and me not give a shit. You know what I mean? It's like so I appreciate you guys helping me is pretty much a long story longer.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Podcast Garage. If you've made it this far, don't forget to hit that follow button. All the links for 20 Tim Minutes, Tanner, Jeff, and Indie Drop-In will all be in the show notes below. If you found the information in this podcast helpful, I ask you to share it with one other podcaster. We would love ratings or reviews on whatever podcast app that you use, and we will see you on the next one.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for telling a friend. But more importantly, thank you for supporting independent, content creators. If you're enjoying the podcast or like the work we're doing in the indie podcaster community, I ask you to tell just one fellow content creator that hasn't heard of this podcast or the work we're doing and share it with them. But more importantly, I hope you continue with me on this journey as the indie podcaster. Keep being you. Keep being great. And the question is, do I stay here? Will you be back? Are you gonna come back? Will you be back? Are you coming back?